Praise the Lord. Shall we pray then? Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you for an opportunity to share your word with your people. When we ask, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, work all things, Lord. Give grace and utterance. Give wisdom and clarity of thought. Give hearts that can hear and receive, Lord. Pray that you would administrate everything said and everything thought and everything perceived, that we might grow. Again, we pray for our pastors, Lord. We thank you so for them, and we pray that this would be a fruitful and profitable time for them, Lord. For the work that you're doing, Lord, through tapes, through the internet, through the work that you're doing throughout the earth, Lord, we pray that your blessing would be there to cause your name to be known, cause your word to be heard, cause the gospel of the kingdom to be preached throughout all the earth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I didn't even, my poor guys in the back, I didn't even give them a heads up on what my scriptures will be. So I will give you a heads up that they're going to be in New American Standard. So for the few and faithful. Yes. This is the one that Jesus taught, I'm sure. All right. Before I start, I'd like to say two things. One, concerning the fundraisers. We had about 16 people of us go last year to the camp, and it was excellent. It was just excellent. And because it was so good, we have more interest this year. We've got about 25. Now, it's in Indiana, and there's a cost for the camp. There's a cost for transportation from the airport to the camp and back, and there's a cost to get from here to Indiana. All of that adds up to close to $1,000 each. Now, let's do the math. There's 25 of us, and each of us is going to cost about $1,000. So I'm not all that good at math. Maybe some of you can help me out, but I think that's a lot of money. So when we have our fundraisers, we're trying to raise that much money. So let's see. If we have 10 events, how much do we have to raise in every one of those events? I'm not good at math, but maybe some of you can get ahead of me on that. Oh, wow. Who can raise $2,000? So we have to have 20 events maybe to make... No, that's a lot of money. So we need about 40 events. Oh, I mean, that's a lot of events. As you can see, support it the best you can, okay? We're going to need to raise a lot of money and be in prayer about that. You know, we're not trying to make the church be the entire bearers of that burden. There will be some things where the kids can go out to the workplace in the neighborhood and whatnot to try and raise that kind of funds. But that's a lot of money. So, and these are good kids, and some of them are young, and their parents are better at raising money than they are. All right, second thing. It hasn't been, oh, goodness. Like I said, this, if you have the time, this thing works out better. It's supposed to point towards my mouth. You'd think it'd be big enough, that wouldn't be a problem. But. Okay. So if anybody can't hear, just kind of go, oh, like this. All right. Next Saturday is several things, and one of, and I'd probably be in your thing, and one that's very special is Marla's baby shower. And we want, that one. Our favorite dancing bowling ball. And we want everyone to attend that as possible. However, there is another event that's going on with some of the young folks. And for those of you that might be going to the air show, I need to see you, all right, afterwards, because there's a lot of paperwork we have to do. And it needs to be turned into the church office. And so I have some paperwork, but there's other paperwork that needs to be done. Okay, so if you're going to go either as a parent or a young person, please see me after the service, all right? All right. And if you don't go to the air show, then by all means, go to Marla's shower. Or no, it should be. If you don't go to Marla's shower, by all means, come to the air show. All right. Pardon me? And that's all after the sharing on Saturday morning. Exactly. Okay. I'd like to share with you this morning on something that you probably heard from before, but I feel that maybe there are some new things. Maybe they're not new to you. Maybe you've known these things all along, but I feel the Lord has been speaking to myself concerning these things, and it has to do with some of the things that we've been learning in our Wednesday time. You may have, those of you that come to Tuesday, and many of you do not, and I know, how do I know that you do not? Not because I count or whatever, but because it's usually just right here, and you're occupying more space. So just by virtue of that, I know there are a lot of you that don't come on Tuesday, but if you have, you've heard Ed and the things that Ed brings forth, which are very valuable. And a lot of these things, he mentions the things, the insights that God gives him on our Wednesday night time we get together in prayer. And for those of you that go to my Sunday school class, and again, most of you have not, but nevertheless, you have probably heard also that there are a lot of things that we're gaining from this. And so this is sort of a reflection of some of those things. I'd like us to turn and start off in John chapter 13. Verses 34 and 35, that gives my guy back there a little time to warm up the thing so that we can get that up there in the New American Standard Version. I didn't bring the NIV. I have read the NIV, as a matter of fact. I'm getting to the place where I actually like the NIV. So that must mean I'm backsliding. I mean, no. The NIV is really very clear. I disagree with a few things, but for the vast part of the NIV, it's very clear and just an excellent thing. It's just so easy to read and so plain. And I would encourage all of us to read different versions of the Bible. We should all be reading the Bible through every year. How many do that? I don't raise your hands, but you should be reading the Bible through every year. And to read it in a different version is enlightening. Because it just presents it in another way. You're going to read an old verse that you've read many times and you're very familiar with in your version that you're happy with. And you read it in another version and you'll read it and go, whoa, wait a minute. It doesn't say that. And then you go get your version back out and you look at it and you go, well, you know, it really does, doesn't it? But you just didn't quite see it that way because it's worded just a little different. So I encourage you to read it in different versions. Okay? That was free. Okay, I need to check the time because I can go on forever. John 13, verses 34 and 35, we'll read that together. And what I want to talk to you today about is three things. Light. I'm a teacher. Okay. Light, everybody better get their finger up. Light, three things, light. Everybody nodding their heads. All right, let's all say that. Light. Yes, I'm going to talk about light. I'm going to talk about life. Life. And I'm going to talk about love. Okay? And where I'm going is the last one, but I'm starting with the first one. Okay? So let's read this together in the New American Standard. And here we go. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Ever since we went to that camp, I've been tracking on a slightly different course. See, when we went to the camp, there were several young people, and some of the young people went, they chose to go, but they didn't want to be there. They didn't want Christian stuff, okay? They want a Christian camp. They came, I guess, so they could hang around with kids and do fun things, but they didn't really, I mean, they didn't want to be there. And we watched and just, really, the camp starts on a Monday and ends on a Friday, but in all practicality, you only have 3 days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because you just get there Monday and you're just leaving Friday. So there's only 3 days that you really get to do anything and interact with the young people. But I saw a real change in those young people in 3 days. A noticeable change in 3 days. And I came back and I'm asking myself, God, It was apparent because we had a lot of planned activities, but we had meetings through the day, and we didn't just have meetings where we all do like we're doing here, and we sit and we talk to you, and you get up and you go out. We would talk for a while, but after we talked for a while, we got together as groups, each group having some elders like myself. You wonder why I was there with the young people in the camp. That was part of the reason. Some of us older folk were able to go there and interact with the young people and ask them what they thought about it. What are the things that they're struggling with? What are the things that are on their hearts and mind? Where are you at? And fortunately, for many, it started off, you didn't get an answer. I mean, you were just hitting up brick walls. But within the 3 days, even the hardest cases began to warm up. Because they would see others and they would see the results of what was happening. As we would interact, there was this interaction that was going on so that we weren't just talking things and wondering where it was going. We were finding out and we were able to adjust what we had said in the meetings to the real issues that the kids were dealing with. Okay? Our kids are dealing with the internet. Okay? We'd like to think, no, not mine, but oh yes, ours. It's there. They're dealing with that sort of stuff. When I went to school, you know, the problems we had were smoking and cussing and a beer, you know. Oh, good grief. I don't know what the problems are with young people today in high school age or junior high, middle school, whatever. But they worried about those things back in first and second grade. Okay? And there are real issues. And these kids in the locker rooms, in PE, in the hallways, in the classrooms are dealing with some incredible issues. All right. So I'm asking myself, wow, Lord, if we, because we interacted on a constant basis, here we are, we're with them, we're talking to them, we're able to interact, they're able to tell us the things, they're able to confess some of the sins, so to speak, that are happening, and we're able to pray them through to the place where they're beginning to have the joy of the Lord and beginning to feel a sense of victory and whatnot. In 3 days, and some of us, we come to church, and we faithfully come to church, and we've been coming to church for years and years and years. Right? And we still got the same hang-ups and the same problems we brought when we first came. Right? Something needs to change. If we believe, and we do believe, this, you'll forgive us because this is what we believe in this church, okay? But we believe that there is no rapture, okay? That we will go through the tribulation. If that's going to happen, what we do here is not going to be strong enough. It's not going to get us through. Okay? So, what do we do? What do we do? All right, so I want to address that this morning somewhat. And I'm not talking about love, loving one another. I want us to see it a little differently because a lot of the times when we talk about loving one another, I'm not so sure what you have in mind when you talk about loving one another. Usually when you talk about loving one another, it's kind of mushy and sweet and let's all get together and eat spaghetti and do that sort of stuff. And that's loving one another, okay? I want to show us something here that I think I see that you may not have thought about, okay? Now, Jesus said he give us a new commandment, and John says it's not a new commandment, it's an old commandment, but I give you a new commandment. What does he mean by, I always wondered, David, what does he mean it's a new commandment, but it's not a new commandment, it's an old commandment? Because it seemed to me it was an old commandment. I mean, what's it a new commandment about? I love one another? That's Jesus said to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the whole sum of the law and the prophets. And everybody went, yes, amen. Okay. So that they had all this time. So what's new about loving one another? There is something new about loving one another, Jesus wanted to say. And I want to give you two aspects of that today that you may not have thought about. All right? The first one is when he said to love one another, you ready? Hang on to your seats. Don't throw me out of the church. He's equating through Scripture and what he said, our love for one another with our love for God. Remember Jesus when he spoke to his disciples and he said to them, hey guys, you believe in God? Yes, we're good Jews, of course. I want you to believe in me just like you believe in God. Oh, blasphemy. You're not God. You're just a dude. No, Jesus said, I want you to understand. The Father and I are one. Father's in me. He dwells in me. If you see me, you see the Father. I am like my Father. I say what my Father says. I do all the things I'm doing. It's not me doing it. It's my Father doing it. So I want you to love me. I want you to believe in me. I want you to treat me like it was the Father. Now Jesus comes along. He says, I got a new commandment, saints. Have you ever thought of it in those terms? I want you to show the same kind of love for one another that you do for God. Let's think about it. If he is bringing us in oneness, isn't that what he prayed? That they may be one. I don't just mean with one another. I mean with the Father. That they may be one with me, even as I am one and we are one and we're one. If we're coming to be one, you can't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and not love your brother with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If the two have become one, think about it. Now, does that make it somewhat of a new commandment? That's more than loving your neighbor as yourself. That's way more than loving your neighbor. That's what makes it new. It's an old commandment because it's always been meant that way. But we haven't always perceived it that way. Okay? Where's my notes? Let's look at 1 John 3. See if the scripture will verify what I had to say or whether it shows me to be a liar. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. Okay? Got that? 1 John 3:23? It's coming. I didn't give him a heads up ahead of time, so he's got to do the little punch it in, punch it up. There it is. And it says, and this is his commandment. Now, what did Jesus say? He who loves me does what? Keeps my commandments. Isn't that what he said? He who loves me keeps my commandments. Okay, now what is this commandment? Jesus says, and this is what John says, and this is my commandment. This is what he's saying Jesus said. This is his commandment. This is Jesus' commandment. You ready? What is it? To believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Jesus said? You believe in the Father, believe also in me. And what? He's equating the two. Just as he commanded us. Let's go back to our original verses. That you love one another even as I have loved you. Andrew, what is one of the big proofs of your life that God loves you? That he chastens me. Amen. Are we learning that or not? Yes, every son that he loves, he chastens. So I'm to love one another like he loves me. Did you think of love in that way? That doesn't sound like a party, does it? God wants us to meddle in one another's lives on a regular basis. Now, that's plain vernacular. I could have gone all morning without saying that. This is what's going to produce a change in us, saints, and nothing else. We can sit in this kind of a forum for forever and not grow. But you can't get where you are interfacing with someone on a regular basis. Let me tell you a little thing about sin, okay? Sin grows and lives in darkness. Think of it like a mushroom. How many know a little something about mushrooms? I used to actually not collect mushrooms, but I used to hunt down mushrooms to eat them. Better know what you're doing. Don't recommend it. Better know what you're doing. Okay? So you got to learn a little something about mushrooms before you go do anything like that, okay? And so I'll just go on the simplest of all the things we know about a mushroom. And that is that the mushroom itself is like a flower. It's the part that pops up above the ground that you see that becomes visible, but the real plant is underground. Did you know that? Most of you knew that. Isn't it called the mycelium that grows under the ground? Huh? Yeah. And it's kind of, if you've ever gotten some detritus in the forest where you've got the kind of the rotten leaves and stuff down at the bottom and dug them up, you see these little white or orange or different colored veiny things going through them. That's the real, that's the fungi that's growing. And the mushroom is only a flower that grows a lot of times just on the peripheral of that. That's why they grow them in, they call them rings, because it grows out in different directions, and on the edges is where it produces the flower. Okay? If you want to kill the mushroom, you're not going to kill it by picking the mushrooms. It'll just, next time the conditions are right, more mushrooms will pop back up. Because the plant's still growing nice and healthy under, in the dark. You see, we often think of some of the grosser sins as the bad ones. You know, murder, adultery, homosexuality, those kind of things. Oh, man, those are the really worst. But you realize that those are only the flowers that pop up. The real grosser sins are the ones that are deep inside, like pride, self-sufficiency. But we don't tend to think of those as gross sins. We tend to think of those as, everybody has that problem, right? Boy, am I glad I don't do those other things. No, it's because the plant's growing underground, okay? And you give it the right conditions, it's liable to produce some fruit, okay? The way to get rid of the mushroom is to turn up and get rid of the spore that grows within and put it in an environment where it can't grow, okay? All right. Let's look at Ephesians. Oh, first of all, no, let's go. I want to show you what we start with. I'm going to go to the very first of the book, Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. Oh, 1 through 5. Genesis 1, 1 through 5. Okay, we want to talk about love, but I'm going to start with light because they go together. Light and life and love go together. Yeah, what we concentrate on is we all got to love one another. We try to put something on, and it's not going to work. There is a process that brings us to a place where we're able to truly love one another. Okay? But you have to start with light. And that's where God started. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But the earth was without, was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, this is the first thing that God does now. This is the foundation of the creation, of the new creation. All right? This is the old, but at the same time, this is the way God starts with the new creation. Okay? Jesus being the firstborn of that new creation. God says the first thing that has to be is let there be light, or the Hebrew just simply says light be. Okay? And there was. And God saw that the light was good. Light is good. Sin doesn't grow in light. Okay? And God separated the light from the darkness. Sin grows in darkness. We like to keep things hidden. And they grow that way. They're not dealt with, but they have a tendency to grow. Okay, and God called the light day. We're children of the light. We're children of the day. We're to walk in the light, right? And the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning one day. Okay, this is preeminent with God. This is the first thing that God does is light. Now, the question that I have for us is, what does God mean by light for us in the context of what I'm talking about this morning? Let's go now to Ephesians chapter 5. And when we get there, Billy, I'll come back to Ephesians. I'll digress a little bit and come back. So the pastor likes to tell you to keep your big toe in Ephesians 5. I don't like to tell you to do that, and I think that's silly. Keep your left toe in there. No. Don't lose Ephesians chapter 5, okay? Because we'll be back. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to read some of this to you. Okay? Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. That's what we're talking about this morning. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. I'm here to tell you, when we learn to love one another, it's a giving up. An offering and a sacrifice to God is a fragrant aroma. Real love is a sacrifice. It's going to cost us. And you know, when events get bad enough, it'll help. Right now, we've got it comfortable. So it's easy to just let the poor people who have all the problems, just keep them as long as they don't bother our lives. But that's not what God wants. Okay? As a fragrant aroma. But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among the saints. Okay? Now, what Paul is saying is that these kind of things are just not proper to be among the saints. All right? So he says, don't let it. And then he says again, there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. You see, you notice here? He's showing that we tend to look at the grosser sins and go, oh, yeah, don't have that in the church. But he's showing that there are other things that are considered just as bad. They have to be dealt with. They're not fitting to be in the church, but they're not what we would call the grosser sins. Coarse jesting. Everybody jests, don't they? And everybody has coarse jesting. I mean, that's just, I'm a construction worker. I've grown up with coarse jesting. Okay? It's not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty. Now, he just got done saying, but do not this, and there must be not that. But now he's saying, but know this with certainty. He's trying to say something here. He wants us to get the point. Know this with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. He wants us to know, saints, for the sake of the weak. He wants the strong to get a grasp of what he's saying here. This is not going to inherit the kingdom. It can't be que sera sera, or let it be, let it be. It's not going to work. We can't be sitting here year after year listening to the preacher preach, walk out, glad hand each other, and ask what the score was. Oh, the Padres lost. We've got to love one another enough to meddle in one another's lives, because if not, these things are not going to inherit the kingdom. Period. But did you not get it? Because look at what he says next. Let no one deceive you with empty words. I won't go into the empty words that might deceive us. I think most of us understand it. But if we believe Jesus did it all, in the sense that you and I have no obligation but to, quote, believe, I'm here to tell you, you're being deceived by empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, okay? But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now notice this next verse. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Light, if we figure out what light is, bears fruit. You see that? Can you say that? Light bears fruit. Okay? Light is important. It's foundational. It's the first thing God did. And it should be the first thing you and I should be concerned about. Okay, you got a problem that you have not been able to deal with. You've got a problem that overwhelms you. Then you better find out what light is, because you've got to bring it to the light. You got a nasty little habit you have never been able to get the victory over. You got to bring it to the light. It's got to have enough light in it to help destroy it. Not covered over with excuses that deceive. Okay? And this light has fruit. And the fruit of it is goodness and righteousness and truth. You're not going to be able to get goodness, righteousness, and truth by learning behavioral modification. It is not going to work. Pressures are getting too strong. And if you think you got pressures, think of the people in Louisiana and Mississippi, or the dear people in Afghanistan, Pakistan, India. I'm sure they're not faking anything this morning. Those that survived, they're not faking a thing. They are exactly who they are and what they are. They haven't got the energy or the strength or the desire to put on a good face for anybody. Pressure's coming, because God is tired of the good face we put on Christianity. Just like the Pharisees were full of unclean things. And he wants it to come to the light. He's not damning us because of it. He says, bring it to the light. As a friend, as one who loves you. I'm trying to expose, okay? Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. See, what God wants us to do. There's a couple of things that God wants from us. One is to cease from sin. Okay? He wants us to cease from sin. It's been covered with the blood. It's been forgiven by the blood. But he wants us to cease from sin. John, in 1 John, he goes into a great deal of length to explain to us that you can't say you're a Christian and keep on sinning. The other thing that we have to do is prove the will of God. Okay? You don't discuss it. You don't learn it. You prove it. And you prove it in the doing. And that's hard, because you go forward and you're like Abraham. Where are you headed, Abe? I haven't got a clue. He said, leave. Go that way. I'll know when I get there, I hope. Are you on a journey and you don't really know where you're headed? Then you're following the voice of the Lord. If you sure you know where you're at, maybe you never started the journey. Today would be a good day to start. Okay? Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. But instead, what? Expose them. Expose them. Now, one of the things that we need to do is learn not to expose our neighbor's sins, okay? Expose your own. All right? Because the next verse says, you can see clearly he's not talking about your neighbor, because he says it's not even right to talk about the things that those people do. So if he's talking about exposing sins, but not to talk about what those, the sons of disobedience, he says them. Isn't that what it says? Where's the verse? Even to speak of the things which are done by them. See the them? You have to know who the them's talking about. He's talking, going back to the sons of disobedience. You're not among them. You're different. You're in the light. Walk is in the light. Okay? But don't even talk about the things that the sons of disobedience do. But if you're going to expose them, whose sins are you exposing? Let's start with ma. Okay? Here we go to 13, and this is critical. What did I say God starts off with? Light. Did I tell you what the definition of light was? It's separated from darkness, and it is not darkness, but I didn't really tell you what light is, did I? I'm about to. You ready? Can you see it up there? Bet you didn't think of that before, did you? But all things become visible when they're exposed. That's what light does. It exposes. That everything was without form and void, but it couldn't be seen until light came. You and I in the world are fine. You're learning to get along fine. You're doing great in your business and you're driving a Porsche or an Audi or whatever it is that your heart ascribes for. And you're doing good and you got money in the bank. You got a big house and you got a lot of investments and your kids are going to college, blah, 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 blah. And you're fine until God's light comes in and all of a sudden you realize you've wasted your life. It's not visible until God's light shows it. Otherwise, it just seems, isn't that what we all aspire for? What's wrong with any of that? It's just death, that's all. It's just darkness. And I'm not saying that we should be irresponsible, by no means. Okay, but when God's light comes, we find out down inside, underneath, the mycelium growing underneath is chaos. I'm selfish. I'm covetousness. I'm unsatisfied with everything. I can't stand my wife, and my wife can't stand me. I can't stand my kids, and I can't stand the boss, and I can't stand anything! Right? Sound familiar? It's all their fault! Boy, if God would only cast the light on them. Okay, but all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. Here we go. Definition of light. For everything that becomes visible is light. When I recognize I am covetous, I can now live in the light. Now, what I do about that depends on whether I have life or not, okay? But light is the fact that I come to recognize that I'm a covetous man, that I'm a selfishly ambitious person, that I'm stingy, that I'm mean, that I'm inconsiderate, that I'm very self-conscious. I'm always worried about me, what people say about me, what people think about me, and how I get treated, and how all the things that happen to me. I'm very self-conscious, but I'm not at all self-aware. I don't know how I affect you. Don't particularly care because I'm dealing with me. And when the light comes and shows that, that's light. When that's exposed, it's light. Now I have something to work with. Now, hang on to this scripture because we're going to come back to it, but we've got to go, what do I do with this? And we go to 1 John for that. The whole book of 1 John is about loving one another, and it deals with sin. It deals with light, life, and love. So if you want to read all about it when I'm done, go back and read 1 John today. Now, I still got a lot of time, so just hang on tight. And he probably found it long before I got there. Did I tell you what it was, Billy? Oh, no wonder he didn't find it. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 10. But don't lose that place, okay? See? I'm doing like I told everybody else. I'm saving my place here. Okay, because we're going to come back to Ephesians 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. I'm sorry. Chapter 1, verse 5. We got it? And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. Okay? That God is light. Isn't that where we started? And in him there is no darkness at all. That's a wonderful thing about God. He can be perfectly trusted. And he can therefore bring to light things because there's no darkness in him. If God scrutinizes something, it'll come to the light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Why? What fellowship has darkness got to do with light? If we're harboring darkness, listen, if we've got darkness in our lives, that part of us is not in fellowship with God. We didn't sing it this morning, but we've sung it before. Intimacy. True intimacy. What we really long for is intimacy. Okay? And I'm here to tell you, it's necessary. But intimacy is not necessarily what I thought it was. Intimacy, I'm finding, is especially among fellow believers, is being able to talk to one another and point out things and discover things about ourselves and be free to allow you to see me. No facades. Allow you to see who I really am. That's a real intimacy. And that's what we really long for, but we run away from it. Okay? Instead, we need to run to the light and not away from it. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, now how do you walk in the light? Remember what we said back in Ephesians? What is light? Everything that becomes manifest, everything that's visible, everything that's been hidden that becomes exposed is light. Walk in the light. What does that mean? Walking every day, allowing the things that are hidden within us to be exposed. How do you kill the mushroom? Not picking mushrooms, getting rid of the stuff that grows underneath in the detritus or in the sand or in the soil, whatever it is, the medium that it grows in. Different kinds of mushrooms grow. That's one of the ways you learn which kind of mushroom it is, because certain mushrooms don't grow in that kind of environment, okay? Certain sins don't grow in that kind of environment, too. Okay? There are certain environments for sins. Yeah, we have to become a little savvy about sin in order for to dig it up. Okay? And that's why there's mentoring. When we're starting off, while we're in chaos, it's all just chaos to us. We need somebody who's worked somewhat through this thing to be able to look down and say, well, look here, let's help sort things out. It's not as bad as you think, and there is help, and there is a way out. But if we walk in the light, allowing God to expose things, as he himself is in the light, God is wanting to be visible. God is wanting to expose. God is light. There's no darkness in him at all. There's no hidden agenda in God. We have fellowship with one another. Now, you wouldn't think that would fit in there. Or at least I didn't. We're talking about having fellowship with God, right? And what's it say? We're talking about God being light, right? And what's it say? If we're walking in the light, what do we have? One another, because you can't have the one without the other, saints. The reason why we are a body is not so that when we get together, we can expect somebody's going to prophesy and somebody else is going to have an interpretation and somebody else has got the gift of healing. That is not the reason why we're the body. That helps. That's part of what happens while you're in assembly, but that's not the reason why you're the body. You've got to live. You've got to exchange life with one another. And it only comes as what's happening with me right now while I'm up here talking to you. I'm breathing in oxygen and my lungs are cleaning my blood. My kidneys are cleaning my blood so that I'll live and not die. It's happening as I go along, as I'm talking. Just a normal process of being alive before you. If that stops happening, I'm called sick. Right? That's what we should be doing with one another. Helping, walking in fellowship. Our fellowship is not to get together and eat spaghetti. That's fine, let's get together and eat spaghetti, but let's do more than eat spaghetti. Let's allow one another to get in and interface with our lives. When we say, how are you doing? Okay, when we say, how are you doing? When we go, we all know we're just saying, you know, passing the time. We're saying, blah, 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 blah. Me too, blah, 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 blah. It's lovely. And we could all say that today as we go out because that's basically what we mean. Okay? But somewhere along the line, we've got to stop and be able to look each other in the eye and say, how are you doing? And get a real answer. Good. It's not even proper English. Sorry. I'm doing well, thank you, if you want to be proper. But what we need is to have both the relationship and the time and the venue where we can look into one another's eyes and say, how are you doing? I'm not doing well at all, Stan. Will you tell me about it? You got time? I'll make the time. Now, this can be done on many different levels. And is primarily, saints, one of the major reasons why God has us get married. Well, you didn't think that, did you? That's okay. There's a lot of singletons out here. You're not excluded. You got friends. Some of you got kids. You can work with my kids. Whoa, wait a minute. They can confess their sins to me, fine, but me, them. You sure about this, Stan? Hey, you want to walk in the light? You get to the place where you really don't care who sees your dirty underwear after a while. I'm not advocating we just go around dangling it out for everybody to look at either, okay? But when we went to the Philippines and we stayed with the family, we had to do wash. And it has to dry. They don't have dryers over there. So my underwear went on the line along with their underwear. And that's just life. We all didn't go, we just were grown up about it. Okay? And can we not be the same among ourselves? Have we not been long enough with one another? Come on. We have fellowship with one another and the blood. Look, if we're having fellowship, if we're walking in the light, and if we're having fellowship with one another, what's happening? Did it not start with if? Let's look back at verse 7, first two words. But if. But if means what? Conditional. It's not just going to happen, right? There's an if to it. All right, so if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, then what? The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin, period. What if we're not doing that? If my blood does not get back to my lungs, do I get cleansed anyway? Just because I'm a person. There's an if to it. And this is not to put a trip on anybody. It's just to be real. I've sat in church years and years and years, and there's many things in my life that have not changed. But I'm beginning to see some change. I actually had a fellow tell me recently that he said that I am incomparably different than I was 15 years ago. Is that not what we're after? Is that not salvation? But I'm here to tell you, one of the things that's made a big difference is because I've had to interact with my mother. I've had to interact with my wife. I've had to interact with my children. I've had to interact with the men on Wednesday. I've begun to interact. I've begun to let things be exposed. My mother and I, we had some tough times when we were growing up, and we had to get over it. We had to talk to each other. We had to say some things and get some things out in the life that were hard to talk about and extremely painful. But they're not between us anymore. We can have fellowship with one another. They're not between us anymore. And she could tell me, when I go over to her house and watch the guy on TV doing all this stuff about on the thing down in Katrina, and I start yelling at the guy, hey, son, you got anger in you. You would have to point that out. Thank God she did. I learned something. It was fruitful. See, it produces life. Darkness is equated with death. Light is equated with life. I'm the light, and the light was the life of the world. Having things exposed to your mate or to your kids or to your friend is life. Amen. Then we can deal with it. There is a way out. Right here. If we confess our sins. Huh? To whom? Any of the above. To one another. Isn't that what it says in Scripture? One another. We're going to see that when we go back to Ephesians. Confess it. That means get it out of your mouth. Put it out in the light. Make it visible. If we confess. Another conditional. If you don't, it's not going to work. And it all just depends. I mean, some of us are really comfortable with our sins. Most of us, deep down, all of us, deep down inside, are not comfortable with our sins at all. I've been a jerk all my life and I've hated it. And I've hated the fact that other people hated in me. Because I didn't want them to hate me. But I was a jerk. Right? So I had to deal with the jerkness. And it started with my former wife. She would give me a good slam. Bam! I'm out of here, son. Ah, must mean I'm a jerk. Light. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous, not just to forgive us. It says to forgive us, but not just that. And there's an and. There's more than just forgiveness of sins, and it's wonderful. He wants us to experience just more than just the forgiveness of sins. To have your sins forgiven and to continue in them is nowhere. But to have them forgiven and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is life. This is progress. This is salvation. This is where we're going. And as we do this, guess what the product is? You're able to love. You're able to love. You're able to understand the real meaning of love. Okay? Jump back. And I'll finish up. Verse 14. And for this reason. I like to add what I just put in there as part of this reason, okay? And for this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. God wants to shine in our lives. Things are going to change. One of the things that our brother, when he came to the men's retreat, he told us, I don't know if you've heard, if you have, forgive me, but it bears repeating, but God woke him up with a word that he didn't know. Vicissitudes. That just goes to show you that having a doctor behind your name doesn't necessarily mean you know everything. My wife has no doctorate. She has no 4-year college degree, but she knew what the vicissitudes were. She's one of the 7 wonders of the world, and my wife. And I wonder why she married me. Vicissitudes. I tried to look it up and didn't find it. It's not Greek. Tony's already found out it isn't Greek. Boy, what a depressing thought for Tony. So next morning he wakes up and here's the word again, vicissitudes. He doesn't know what this means. So he's trying to look it up. You know, by this time probably it's you know, he's got that DR behind his name, so I better know what vicissitude means. Better find it, but he can't find it again. So I think it was 3 days in a row. He wakes up with this vicissitudes. He finally finds it. Okay? And it means sudden changes. Well, listen, saints, if God is waking this guy up saying vicissitudes, guess what he's trying to tell us? Sudden changes are coming. 9/11 brought sudden changes for a lot of people in New York. What month was it that the hurricanes went through? And was it last month? Yeah, September. September again. September, the blowing of trumpets. They go together. Woo-hoo. God's trying to tell us something. But sudden changes. New Orleans is not likely to be the same in our lifetime. God is trying to tell us that sudden changes are coming. Okay? We are going to have to adjust so that we are going to be able to not just make it through the sudden changes, but shine. But go through more than conquerors. Go through and stand and bear witness to the light. Okay? Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Doing what? Making the most of your time. Because the days are evil. Evil days are upon us. Make the most of our time. Make the most of our time. This has been something I've been struggling with because I haven't got a lot of time. I got a full-time job during the day, and then I have a full-time job at night and the weekends, and I'm busy, 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 and for years I've been mumbling and complaining to God, I have got no time. And you know what the product of that has been? I've been tired beyond thought. A lot of good that does me. It's finally beginning to dawn on me, I don't have any time. I'm not my own. I'm worried about my time. What time is yours, Stan? Now that you mention it. I'm not quite so tired anymore. I consider the things that I have to do that use up, quote, all my time are the things that I'm supposed to do. And quit complaining about that I'm so tired because I have all these things to do, but rather rejoice that I have things to do. So I have more time now to be more occupied. Make the most of your time, saints, because the days are evil. And what I'm telling you is everybody here should have some sort of accountability. Whether informal or formal, whatever. Everyone here should have some sort of accountability. We're not going to make it without it. Accountability means you can't hide in the dark. Whether it's a friend, whether it's a spouse, whether it's your own children, whether it's whatever. Part of being part of the body. We've got to be somewhere where there's someone that has we have accountability to, that they know what's going on inside of our lives. They can scrutinize it. And we theirs. They can scrutinize mine. I can scrutinize theirs. It has to be done in love. You just can't go blasting people. You just can't go wrecking people, beating each other over the head with a hammer. That doesn't work. The way I have found in the situation when they asked me to be Ed Ryder's mentor, and my first thought is, Ed Ryder's mentor? I mean, he's smarter than I am. I'm older than he is. And I've got that little rev that they give you if you get the thing and the paperwork, okay? So maybe that has, but otherwise, I mean, I'm pretty well considering my peer. I'm to be his mentor. Okay, fine. I'm going, I don't want to do this. I've not been mentored per se. I don't know how this works, God. How do you do it? And God said, model for him with your life what you would like him to do. So here we are, and I'm mentoring him, and so I'm coming together, and I'm confessing my sins to him. And every time we get together, I'm telling him, I'm doing this wrong, I'm doing that wrong, I have a problem with this. Oh, guess what? I sinned again. And in time, it began to open up. They began to feel, maybe it's safe, this guy's got as many problems as I do. So you want to know how it goes? Model it, saints. The way you want to be treated, treat them. The amount of mercy you want shown, show. I want to walk in the light, so I do. And when God points things out, I'm quick to point something out. I'm here to tell you, one of the hardest things is being able to do that with your wife or your husband. And one of the most healing and rewarding if you're able to get to that place. Make most of the time you have. The days are evil. Everyone hearing in the sound of my voice should be in some kind of a relationship that has accountability. Okay? So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What I've been just telling you, I think, is what God's will is. That we should do this. And look what it says. And have you ever wondered why this gets stuck in here? It's like, where'd that come from? And do not get drunk with wine. What does that got to do with anything? I figured it out this morning, I think, in one sense. Because, saints, it gets tough and the pressure gets tough and getting your sins exposed is tough. And one thing you'd much rather do is go do something to make it happier and easier and just forget it. It's okay, so it ain't necessarily drunk. It could be some other, but basically, you know, whatever. Go to the races, go shopping, whatever it is for you that makes you feel fine instead of having to put up with walking in the light. Don't do it. The temptation is to, what's that word, anesthetize yourself? Is that it? Yeah. Do something to dull the pain. Don't do it. It bears good fruit in the long run. What you really want, you'll find. The result will be intimacy with one another, with God Himself. Because you can't have intimacy with God and not have intimacy with one another. Speaking to one another. Isn't that what I got done saying? See, I'm on the right train of thought, aren't I? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Encouraging one another. Always giving thanks for all things. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even to the Father. And here it is. Bingo. The last. And be subject to one another. In the fear of the Lord. It fits, doesn't it? I haven't drawn a long bow, I don't think, have I? That's what he's talking about. All right? Let's pray. And if you do not, don't forget, get together with me, those of you that are going to go to the air show. If you do not have this relationship with someone, we need to pray about that. That needs to be changed. I don't know how. I didn't know how to go about mentoring Ed Ryder, but God has shown me. I don't know how, but God will show us. But it has to change. We have to recognize that things have got to change. We've got to have accountability. And I believe every one of us should, so that we can walk in the light. It's the only way we're going to grow. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. And we want to grow, Lord. I've really not wanted to be a jerk all my life, Lord. And was powerless to stop. And was crushed when my first wife made it quite evident that that's really all I was. But Lord, I'm encouraged. Because through the process of change, through the process of confessing my sins, through this process, Lord, of having the things that are hidden in darkness in my life brought to the light, in light of faithful people like my wife and my children, my mother and my friends, my pastor. That being a jerk is changing, Lord. I'm not nearly as big a jerk as I was. I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I pray for your saints. I believe the same thing counts for each of us, Lord. I believe many of us know that there are things in our hearts, Lord, that just we wish we could change if we could. We can't. And the truth is, unless God does something, saints, we're not going to change. It doesn't just happen because I preach. I wish it was so. People think they come to Christian concerts and they raise their hand and they praise the Lord and they jump up and down for 3 hours and they think they're going to go home and change. That doesn't change them. You'd think it would. You'd like it to, but it doesn't. God, we've got to learn. We've got to change, Lord. We've got to bring ourselves into the situation that will produce change or we're not going to be able to stand. And Lord, the darkness in us wants to stay in the dark. Wants to hide. Doesn't like the idea of being exposed. Comfortable where it is. Mushrooms grow real nice in dark, gooey, warm, slimy places. Until that's changed, they keep popping up mushrooms here and there. And we keep trying to get this under control. Oh, I said mean things. Well, I wish I could stop. Something else is going to pop up. It's going to keep popping up, Lord, all the time. And every time the conditions get right, another thing is going to pop up. Because we're not getting at the issues of the heart. And the reason why we're not getting at the issues of the heart is because we're not allowing anybody to scrutinize. It'd be wonderful if just God would do it sovereignly. You haven't chosen to do it that way, Lord. Some things, yes, but a lot of things have got to be dealt with one another. And the two are tied and are not separable. That's why we are a body. So I pray, Lord. I don't know what to pray, but I'm praying. I'm asking, Lord, what you want done about this, that you do it. I truly believe everyone here and within the sound of my voice ought to have some kind of a relationship. It's funny, Lord. I used to be concerned about Diane and Wayne, Lord, because they didn't have a church to go to. And I thought, how are they going to grow and how are they going to get on with God? They don't even have a church to go to. Here they are off by themselves in some little whatever by themselves. And then every time I'd get together and meet them, I'd go, good grief, Lord, they're still ahead of me. How do they do that? Finally, I began to realize they've been having church all along, Lord. Different way than I perceive, but real church. Because they walk this. They live this. They allow that to happen constantly in their lives, Lord. The exposure to the light one with one another is their way of living. And by consequence, they're always growing. And they're always a step ahead of me. Well, thank you for that, Lord. And may it ever continue to be. Now, we need the same, Lord. Or we can be sitting here and we can be able to teach the gospel of the kingdom and go through all the four types and tell all about this and that we believe and all this sort of stuff and think we've done something and think we are something and still be the same old nasty person we were 30 years ago. Maybe a little more subtle about our nastiness, which is even worse. And that can't be, Lord. It just can't be. It's not growth, it's not salvation, and we will not have fellowship with you, and we will not see you as you are if we continue in that, because you're not that way. So I'm praying, Lord. I'm praying for our assembly. I'm praying for your saints. I'm praying for your word. I'm praying for the truth, Lord. We need your light, and we need to come to the place where we're comfortable living in the light and walking in the light. Lord, I pray you convict us by your Spirit. It's just worthless, Lord, to endure. He's almost done. When's he going to shut up? Let's get out of here and go do what we want to do. God, help. We need your Holy Spirit, Lord, to work in our lives so that we can't get away with that, Lord. And really, deep down inside, we want that. We don't want to get away with it, Lord. If we can truly be honest with ourselves, we'll admit we can't stand ourselves. Oh, to come to the place where we have enough freedom in you to where we don't no longer despise ourselves, Lord, but we can love our neighbor as ourselves. Have a healthy understanding and relationship with our own selves. Help us to come to that place, Lord. We're able to minister out of strength and not out of our own weaknesses. So, Lord, I commit this to you. I commit your people to you. I commit your word. These your saints, Lord. I pray your blessing on each one. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.